Okay, we have everyone here, Chair. You may start.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Inner West Local Planning Panel meeting this afternoon. We're gathered together in the lands previously occupied by the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, and this council respectfully acknowledges those people, the elders past and present. We have a number of items here today, and we have a number of speakers. I propose to introduce you to the panel. I propose to say to you that all of the panel members have inspected the sites with COVID restrictions. We've done it individually, but nevertheless, it has been done. We've reviewed all of the documentation provided to us by council staff, and can I say it's very impressive documentation as well. We've read all of the material that's been placed before us. So we're in a good position to deliberate on the matters that we have before us today. Before I ask our various speakers to speak, and our first item is on item three, who'll be speaking. Can I just ask that you give people respect when they're speaking? Can you please restrict your time that you are speaking? And can you please make your points as succinctly as possible? If someone's making a point previously or has made a point previously that you want to make, please just acknowledge that and move forward. I'm your chairman today. My name's Gary Shields. I'm a planner, urban designer, traffic engineer. I have a PhD in planning. I've been a planner for a long period of time as a consultant, some 30 plus years. Interestingly, I was a director of planning at Leichhardt Council about 3 eons ago. And more recently, I've been a acting commissioner in the Land Environment Court. Currently, I chair a few of these panels. And I'd like to now introduce, if I may, Mr. McInerney.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm an architect and town planner and have been previously a deputy Lord Mayor with the City of Sydney and have a long background in town planning and urban design.
Thanks, John. Kim.
Thank you, Gary and Mr. Chair. My name's Kim Cristani. I'm a Life Fellow of the Royal Australian Institute of Architects, and I am a consultant to the City of Parramatta. I was recently the City Architect there for nearly 7 years. I'm a Director of Order Architects, and I consult to state government agencies and other federal government agencies such as Western Sydney Airport and Cross River Rail in Brisbane. I'm on a few panels and delighted to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Our community rep today is Lee Richardson. Lee, could you please introduce your good self?
Yes, hello. My name is Leah Richards. I'm a community member of the panel. I've lived in the Inner West since 1985 and have been involved with the creative and performing arts communities, also with bush regeneration and environmental committees, with the then Leichhardt Council, previously the Climate Change Task Force. My education is in modern languages, occupational health and safety, and most recently a Bachelor of Science in Urban Ecology. Keen interest in environment, in architecture, and very grateful new member of the panel. This is my second meeting this year. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee, and welcome. Can I say that we did have a discussion on conflicts of interest prior to this meeting? And the fact of the matter is, when people have been around as long as Mr. McInerney myself, almost everyone, well, a large proportion of those that appear before us, we've may have worked with in the past, or at least now. We do not consider that to be a conflict of interest. And all of the panel members today have said that they do not have a conflict of interest of any of the items that are before us. Having said that, can I move to item one, which we simply need to note, and move on. Marty, unless there's something you'd like to tell me about item one?
Not at all, Chair. Quite happy to move on to item two.
I did have a few matters there. Probably the first six, I think, we could talk about later. Thank you. Item two is 469R Princes Highway, Sydenham. And how would you proceed with this, Marty? We have a recommendation for a deferred commencement approval. And there has been some discussion prior about restriction of time. And I think you were looking at that a little bit further.
That's right, Chair. That in relation to the previous sign, this sign proposes a time limitation of 15 years consistent with the set. And the application seeks a planning agreement, and that's part of the deferred commencement in terms of the agreement between council and the developer.
Okay, thank you. There's a deferred commencement approval recommended for this. Would one of the panel like to recommend that?
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to recommend it, but with a modification to the conditions.
Thank you. Yes, please.
I believe in the context of the highway and impending improvements to the whole visual corridor, which is currently underway, of course, in Parramatta Road, but the highway itself has been seriously thought about, that I think we need to have more flexibility in the time or the ability to move beyond just what it is at the moment, which is a sort of a corridor of advertising signs. So I would propose that we put a limitation of 5 years on this particular approval, but with a condition that at that time, that is at the 5 year period, a further application can be made for extension of time, subject, of course, at the time to a decision. So that would be my suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Is the panel happy with that suggestion?
Yes.
So, thank you. Did either of you wish to speak on it?
No, I support that.
Okay. So for those people present today, a deferred commencement means that the panel's of a mind to grant consent to it, but the consent is subject to a precursor or prerequisite, in this case, a voluntary planning agreement. And it's only when that is finalised that the consent starts, and the consent would terminate as a result of this condition suggested by Mr. McInerney 5 years after that time. Everyone happy with that?
Yes.
I'm actually going to endorse that in the public arena. And move on to the next item, which is item three. Item three is 246 to 248 Wardell Road, Marrickville. And as far as the recommendation's concerned, we have a recommendation for refusal. We have a number of, or at least a few speakers on that. And I think leading the list to speak is Mr. Brett Daintree. Mr. Daintree, are you there?
I am, Chair. Thank you.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. I can indeed.
Thank you very much, Chair and panel. We don't know whether you have been briefed by staff, but Water New South Wales general terms of approval have now arrived, and that was the sole reason for recommending refusal of this report.
We have been briefed of that, and in the last half an hour received a copy of that letter in question. So thank you. You can assume we now have knowledge of that.
Thank you, Chair and panel. So my submission, Chair and panel, is that subject to the panel adopting Council's standard development consent conditions for this proposal, we submit that the panel would be in a position to support an approval. If the panel is not comfortable granting consent today on the basis that it doesn't have before them a set of conditions for it to consider, then we would ask that this matter be deferred to allow the staff to provide that set of conditions to you such that they can come back with a recommendation for approval in accordance with such conditions.
Thanks, Mr. Daintree. Is there anything else you'd like to add at this stage?
Nothing. I'm quite happy to take some questions if there are any in relation to the application itself. And the architects are also present to take more technical questions from the panel as the panel may wish to ask.
The panel made some observations about the general merits in the urban design in this locality, and I'm sure you'd be keen to make sure this building will contribute to that rather than otherwise. But I'll see if the panel have any specific questions of you.
Thank you, Chair.
Panel?
No, thanks.
No?
No, Kim? Mr. Chair, I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Thank you. Mr. Daintree, thank you for your submission.
Thank you very much, Chair.
More importantly, thank you for your letter, and we'll make a determination at the end of this meeting.
Thank you very much, Chair and panel.
Thank you. Item four, it's a popular area, Wardell Road, and this little matter, 247 to 249 Wardell Road. I'm sorry, Mr. McEnany. Sorry, Mr. Daintree. Was Mr. Beaumont wanting to speak? I had him listed here.
Yes, Chair. I'm just here to answer any questions if you did have anything from the architecture side.
Please don't think I was snubbing you. I just thought you probably didn't need to speak after the revelation provided by the letter and Mr. Daintree. Thank you.
Thanks again, Chair.
Thank you. Item four is 247 to 249 Wardell Road, Marrickville. And we have a recommendation for approval with conditions. Anyone on the panel have any thoughts? Anyone on the panel like to move a recommendation?
Yes, anyone Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you.
Just a question. Do we have no submitters on this matter at all? Or is the architect available?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name's Jeff.
Perhaps we could hear him first.
Sorry, you were a late submitter, weren't you? I apologise. Thank you. Would you like to address the panel now? Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I think one of the items that was raised was the height breach on the project. And I just want to sort of explain the reasons for that. The proposal has been through two design excellence panels. In fact, the additional height breach was supported significantly by the first panel, and then not as much so, but also supported by the second panel. There's a reason for that. We're not trying to seek out any more additional floors. We're not trying to seek out any additional sort of benefit from a floor space ratio point of view on the project. It was to really achieve three things: the increased floor to floor height on the ground floor, which directly interfaces with the plaza towards the station. It was to provide an increased floor to floor height for the boarding house rooms so they could have a little bit more amenity. But the third and most important point that we really wanted to do was future proof the building. This is in a key location right against the station. And this may not be a boarding house for the duration of its life. And we're starting to feel like it's our responsibility to start designing these buildings that can cope with future purposes on the site. So as you can see, the floor to floor of the typical boarding house room has been increased to 3.35, which would suit a commercial use in the future. I do understand the recommendations to take to 3.1, and look, if that's where the panel wishes to take it, so be it. It is not going to be detrimental to the project. But we are starting to really introduce key measures about future-proofing. And for the extra 2 metres or 1.8 metres that we are breaching the height that has minimal environmental impact to any buildings around in such a key location, we would love to see that building have that future flexibility, particularly when there's a lot of money spent by council on the plaza and on that building to make sure it's a significantly, you know, aesthetically pleasing building in that location. So just wanted to reinforce our points. It's not to overstate the development, but really sort of future-proof it going forward.
Mr. Shaw, thank you so much for those comments. We'll deliberate over your thoughts, and the panel has talked about that, and we'll make a determination at the end of the meeting.
So, thank you for listening to me.
No, thank you.
Can I just ask one question, please, Mr. Chair? Thanks,
Jeff. Yes, please, Kim.
Thanks for your very valid responses. And I'm personally happy with the higher floor to floor. I think it'll make the rooms much better volumetrically because they are small footprints. But given if you are going to future-proof the building, will you be doing the interstitial walls between the boarding house rooms in another material that can be then taken away? I mean, you'll need fire rating and so on. I'm just wondering how you'll deal with that.
That's the fun job for us in the next phase when you get into the detail, actually.
I think it is your mind reading. Yeah.
It is a small footprint, so the structure's not going to be onerous from a main structural point of view. So we're hoping to be able to use a lot of lightweight materials there. Obviously, achieves compliance through fire codes and the rest, but
yeah,
it really does. I can see it being a commercial building in the future. If it does, it's never going to be a residential building in that location. So,
and I've just got one other question while you're here. Is I was involved in the metro and the light rail on this crosshairs of this site, so I know it only too well. The cafe being lower than the external area, the external plaza, that was always a conundrum, quite tricky. Well, how are you actually dealing with that now in terms of waterproofing that and so on? I'm just interested to know that you've resolved that issue. I know but if we're going to approve it, you know, it's an underground space, if you like, or under the public domain.
And Kim, that's exactly our issue. We had to address Wardell Road and we had to address the plaza. Mm. So what we have done is raise half the cafe that addresses purely the plaza up the top, which has also got that beautiful awning signifying the entry and giving it a bit of identity once you come off the station.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was also having that step down by a couple of levels down towards getting a direct access on Wardell Road. So, look, it's not ideal. Component that sort of intervened, the lower component that faces the plaza, we'll have to do a bit of treatment there, particularly with people looking up. What we did achieve was the addressing of both key frontages because we did see the plaza as important as Wardell Road.
Okay. I mean, this has been having a long gestation, this project. I think it's a good proposition at the moment. So thanks for your good answers to the questions.
That's okay. And because it was our engagement with Sydney Metro very early on in the process, and sorry, Chair, I won't take too much time, but originally I think Sydney Trains was going to build a building next to this one on the plaza side. You probably know better than me, Kim. And then I think Sydney Metro took over and then it became a plaza. So we've been going back and forwards.
Yeah.
But we really think this project does really contribute to this little precinct. Mm. And we're looking forward to getting in the detail of making sure even just the tiles and the floor treatment continues down past our development. We've been working with the authorities to make sure that happens.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you very much for your good...
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. And we'll make a determination at the conclusion of this meeting. Can I then move on to item 5, please? And I have 143 to 149 Norton Street, Leichhardt. And I have a couple of speakers on that. And the first one is Mr. Kerry Nash. Hello, Mr. Nash.
Welcome, Mr. Chairman. How are you?
I'm Excellent. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman and panel members. I'll be brief and pick up the key elements of the report. The first thing is the heritage response in the assessment report does not address the heritage assessment report prepared by James Phillips of Weir Phillips in March 2022. It has reiterated obsolete commentary to a January report, and so James is listed as a speaker, but he's up in the Blue Mountains at the moment, so hopefully he will be able to join us. But if not, I would suggest that given the fact that the heritage commentary and character issues go very much to what's in his report, I would recommend that it be deferred. But the key thing is that there is commentary about the floor space ratio only apply of 1:1 only applying to the site. Now, this application is for additions to an approved mixed use building, which attracted the 0.5 bonus for the building. The approved development plus the addition at the rear achieves a floor space ratio 1.14:1, and well below the 1.5:1. It is a disingenuous argument to say that this application doesn't similarly attract, this development attracts the 1.5:1 bonus. And so it is not a correct reason for refusal. The issue is that there is no change to the Norton Street presentation of two stories with the third story set back that was approved with the DA. You would understand that it was not possible to use 4.55 modification provisions because it would not have passed the substantially the same test with the number of stories. So it was done as a DA of additions to an approved mixed-use building. So the relevant control is 1.5:1. This development complies at 1.14:1, and there is no requirement for a clause 4.6.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Yes. Would you...
A couple of more points, if possible, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Nash, please.
The photograph on page 334 of your assessment report, which shows the rear of 151 Norton Street, what you will see in that is a retreating roof plane for this upper level. And if I could ask Tracy, our architect, to bring up and share with you drawing A960. Hopefully Tracy is there. This will give you a clear idea of the change to the style that both compares. If it's not coming up, do you not have access to drawings in the package?
I think Tracy might be on mute as well.
For the panel's assistance, if you in your plan booklet, it's the last last plan.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
So it's important that we have a look at this because in case James Phillips is not available, this reflects his heritage of vice in the treatment of this upper level. Is it possible to be shared?
The panel has access to hard copies of it, Mr. Nash. So.
Okay, so it's A960. You'll see on the right-hand side of the drawing is what is approved, and you will note that there are the earlier approval has roof terraces on the upper on the roof for those four units facing the right of way. And a benefit that arises from this proposal is those roof terraces get replaced by a room in the roof.
So if given Mr. Phillips isn't with us, what would he be telling us as far as that drawing is concerned that you've just taken the panel to?
Sorry, Chair, can I just interrupt? James finished this in online, so he can...
Sorry?
James is online. Yeah, there he is.
Okay, I'm just going to finish with Mr. Nash, so to speak, and then we'll hear from Mr. Phillips. Mr. Nash, do you have any further comments?
Or are you one more thing. This proposal will not introduce any new amenity impacts. Right? The amenity packs were considered acceptable for the properties to the east with the approved development of a first floor balcony and windows on the eastern facade on the second level. What's on the additional level is a room in the roof with a dormer. It's not going to introduce any new amenity impacts, and there is no overshadowing impacts introduced as clearly expressed in the assessment report. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Natch. Mr. Phillips, I believe you're somewhere around the Three Sisters at the moment, are you? You'd like to address us?
Well, I'm just... thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll address you briefly, as Mr. Nash has so eloquently spoken on my behalf. The heritage impact arising from these changes is such that the attic rooms, which are, I believe, to be offices, will have dormer windows, and there'll be very little visual impact or heritage impact arising from seeing them from the laneway. So I see this as a perfectly good way of dealing with this rear lane situation.
And no, you're saying there's no additional shadow or privacy impacts. Is that what you and Mr. Nash?
Well, they're not so much here. Well, I think that's what Mr. Nash is saying. That's not my bailiwick whether there's overshadowing. It's the visual impact in terms of heritage from the lane. And the dormers are well recessed, and I don't think there'll be any visual impact as illustrated.
Sorry, Mr. Phillips, you're just breaking it up a bit there.
The drawing, page 387, Mr. Chair. The first drawing shows the dormers above to be barely visible on the laneway. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm very sorry to do this so remotely, and there's a heavy rainstorm happening, which is probably interfering with reception.
Yeah, right. It's probably coming our way.
Welcome to the new world.
No, we've been taken to that drawing. Thank you. The panel does have that in front of it, so thank you.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to share with us, Mr. Phillips?
No, I think Mr. Nash has spoken quite well, and I don't want to take up any more of your time than necessary.
That's very kind of you. Ms. Lim, did you wish to make any further comment?
Yes, I'd just like to stress more of the design, more from the architect's point of view.
Thank you.
Yep.
Would you like to proceed?
Yep, I'll proceed now. Thanks, yes, Chair. Please. So as pointed out by Kerry, Mr. Nash, that our proposal is only addressing the items relation to amended plan design as being an alteration and addition to the approved DA. So the units facing Norton Street remains unchanged as per approval, and the facade design remains the same and no visual impact there. So our proposed addition floor facing the rear laneway in the form of a dormer window addition in responding to the comments in the assessment report of SEP 65 on the visual privacy building separation. Our proposal is actually even lower than the approved parapet wall, which is demonstrated again on the same page 387. The building forms and is further set back as a ski lane roof concealed behind a parapet ends. So the building setback, which was mentioned on page 334, on page 334, the building setback is at 9.040 meters to the eastern rear boundary, and the small dormer windows is at 7.2. So it actually complies with the requirement of SEP 65, where you require only 9 meter setback. So in conclusion, the proposal is not introducing any new overlooking impacts, as the overlooking impacts of this window, which was in the approval, was already accepted by council previously. So I just want to sum up as the proposal of the home office addition to the four rear units has very minimal impact, and we have actually improved the facade design more with a well-reserved dormer window and minimal visibility from the public domain. So we like the panel members to consider our application as reasonable and recommended for approval.
Thank you, Ms. Lim.
Yep.
Any questions of Ms. Lim?
No, thanks.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I've got two little questions.
Thanks, Ms. Kim. Lim,
what would you say about other people relying upon this as project as a precedent? Because it has so many non-compliances, given it's a fairly intense increase in FSR. What would you say about that? And secondly, this is a really minor point, but I'm just interested that some architects don't put their registration numbers on drawings, and I'm wondering why you guys haven't done that. It's a bit of constructive feedback. not a criticism. I'm just saying, I think you should do that under the registration requirements. So they're just a bit of advice for the future. But yep. I mean, I'm more interested in the first question is, I can see what you're saying about you've designed it with the dormer windows and they're recessive and so on, but you are increasing the floor space by, we understand, 18%. So what would you say about other people who would copy that and set a bad precedent?
Firstly, I would like to point out that I think Terry mentioned that before of the FSR. The report say it's 1 to 18. It's actually 1 in 14. 1.14, sorry, to 1. But in terms of the FSR, we didn't change Northern Street area. So the FSR was still approved with the with the addition of the retails, actually, so which is 1.5, right?
Yeah, 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5 to 1.
Right, okay.
Is that clear?
Yeah, we'll get it checked by the council, but yeah. So
yeah.
Okay. All right, now that's enough from me. Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, thanks for that.
Thank you. Lee, any questions?
No, thank you.
And John, you've already said no.
No, thanks, you.
Okay. We'll deliberate over that matter at the end of this meeting and make a determination later. Thank you all for your presentations. There's some interesting thoughts here to deal with. Moving on to the next item, which I have as item 6. And we have... Tamara Lane is the architect addressing us. Are you there? Yes, you are. Good afternoon.
Yes. Hello, Chair and panel. Good afternoon. I'm only here to answer questions as needed. We have a thorough positive report from the planning at council recommending approval. So I really am here not knowing we're at the panel because we had two clause 4.6 required, which often happens with a terrace. We had overruns on site coverage and floor space. But other than that, we have quite a, well-considered alterations and additions to an existing terrace, and we have a strong recommendation for approval. So I'm only really here to support the panel and answer any questions as needed.
Would anyone like to ask Ms. Lane a question?
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chair.
If not, I would. Why do you not have an excess of 9.9%?
Sorry, I've not heard or understood the question.
The question is, if you're 10% over with a 4.6, you need to come to the panel. If you're 9.9% over, you don't need to.
Yes, I think the numbers were not as close as the expression that you're giving. I think okay. We were a clear case, but I think the actual existing terrace was already over on these figures. So any minor alterations and additions that we made were going to land us here at the panel.
Okay, all right.
And Mr. Thank Chair, you. I have my same question, Tamara. How come you don't have your registration number on your drawings?
I actually heard your comments on the previous. It's something I will attend to, Kim.
Thank you. Yeah. It just keeps the architectural profession all happy, and we can tell by your number.
It keeps Kim happy too.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing. It's good that architects. I mean, there are some people who are purporting to be architects who are not architects. Yeah. So it's good to maintain that your right. qualifications. Thanks,
transparency. Yeah. Absolutely, I will have that done, and I certainly do have my registration.
Any yes. other questions or comments on that one?
Nothing. No,
not from me.
If not, I'll move on to the. Well, sorry, I should say tomorrow that we will make a determination on that matter later this afternoon, and
thank you.
Put the determination online. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I've got item 7 now, and I have Mr. Greg Boston addressing us. Mr. Boston, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chair and panel members.
Would you like to address the panel now, please?
Yeah, sure. Look, I'm here primarily to answer any questions that the panel members might have. I'm the consultant planner that prepared the Statement of Environmental Effects and the 4.6 variation request for FSR. We've read the report. We think it's thorough in its assessment of the issues and also the resident concerns that were raised. We've reviewed the conditions. We raise no objections to them other than condition 27, which we do ask the panel to put their mind towards. It requires mechanical exhaust systems and or shafts to be designed to enable discharge above the roof line, and then goes on to suggest that there needs to be the provision for, I would think, future proofing to enable food shop uses on the ground floor. It's certainly not a component of this application in terms of food shop, and given the size of the site, we don't anticipate that there'd be a great demand for food shops on this particular or food premises on this particular property. So when you have a look at the floor plans, everything's quite compact, and to then provide exhaust voids through the scheme, we believe that to be unreasonable and unnecessary. So we simply ask for the panel to look at deleting that condition in its totality. Apart from that, really here to answer any questions.
I don't have any questions. Oh, well, one question.
Yes.
Sorry, John, you go.
Mr. Boston, if I could refer you to your drawing at number DA03B, which I think is in our papers. Do you have access to the drawings there?
Yeah, I do. Page 471, I believe, of the agenda.
Right. The question I've got is in relation to the planter to the south. That is, sorry, to the adjoining property. I noticed that on the drawings you're showing a planter width of 300 mil. It says here 300 wide planter to boundary wall. Are you following me there?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I wonder, do you think that's sufficient? 300 mil is quite narrow for a planter of that length and size, with the hopes of some decent landscaping. I suspect maybe a wider planter might be more appropriate.
Yeah, sure. Look, this issue was discussed during the assessment process, and we're aware that there was a submission received from the property on the northern side of the laneway in regards to potential privacy issues. So the planter is at its widest where it does the most work in terms of providing screening to the property on the other side of the laneway. The return up adjacent to what would be the western boundary, we really didn't see great benefit in having more soil depth there than potentially just being able to get something to grow on the existing wall or fencing, which is adjacent to the boundary in that location. So, we believe in that location that width will do the job.
Yeah, to be more informative, I'm only looking at something like 400 versus 300. So it's I suspect that might be an improvement. But anyway, thanks for your answer.
Sure.
So, Mr. Boston, are you suggesting it'd be a creeper of some sort, or wall climber?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Chair. There's currently a wall on the boundary adjacent to that particular boundary interface. So it would provide some greening to that wall rather than necessarily being required to provide appropriate privacy at that particular interface.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions of Mr. Boston?
No, thanks.
Mr. Chair, may I just ask a quick question, Chair?
Yes, certainly.
Look at DA 10A in the large plans is the view of that aspect that faces the neighbour of concern. And so there, I can't see a visual. This is the one with the windows 9, 10, 11 and 12, where there was a submission concerned with overlooking. And from the top view, there should be a planter there, and it's not shown in this. There's just shown a rail. But you're suggesting that from that view, there will be a planter above that balustrade that will provide privacy?
The planter will sit below that balustrade, and then you'll see some planting coming up over the top of it. The upper level window there, when you have a look at the floor plans, is actually a void. So in terms of the spatial separation maintained between the glazing line and then any trafficable habitable floor space, we believe that the spatial separation is sufficient to provide appropriate privacy.
That's for windows, between windows 12 and 10 you're speaking about there?
Yes, correct. If you have a look at plan DA07, which is on page 472 of the report.
Yes.
A couple of things to note there is when you go to the laneway, which is the far right-hand side of that image, you'll see the wall, which you saw on the laneway elevation, and then behind that wall is the planter. So the wall itself provides some privacy attenuation, and then there's some planter in the planter box. And that wall also wraps around and goes down the boundary between the two immediately adjoining properties.
Yes.
This plan's also good at just showing the internal spaces of the first floor, and then also the mezzanine, and just the spatial separation you get across the laneway and to the objector's property.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that that answers your question, but we believe that...
Yes, thank you. That's helpful. Yeah,
thank you.
All right. Any other questions of Mr. Boston?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Boston. We'll make a determination shortly and the outcome will be posted online. So thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Item 8, 14 Clifford Street, Balmain East. We do have some, we do have a presenter, Mr. Todd Buchan. Are you there, sir?
Through the chair, there doesn't seem to be anyone in the meeting of that name at the moment.
Okay.
Through the chair, we might try and contact him if we want to jump to
item 9.
The next item,
because we do have a few speakers on there. Okay, thank you. Can we move then to item 9? And if we have Mr. Buncombe, if he does come on later on, we'll, if the panel's agreeable, we might hear from him at that stage. But let's deal with item 9 and hear in particular from Mr. Hugh Dorrie. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, it's Hugh Lockery here, yes.
Laurie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you for your time. There's a bit of history to this development of this property, as you may be aware. But I've made some more submissions. This is, I think, the fourth time that this application has been in front of the panel or council, and it's been rejected every time. I've set out some reasons. I won't repeat the reasons in my submissions or my summaries there, although I do believe there's an issue about granting retrospective approval of development works that have already been completed. That is worth drawing to the panel's attention, as well as the scope of the application here and whether it is truly a modification of the original proposal, which it seems to be far more extensive than that. But if you would permit me, I would like to make some points in relation to noise, which has been a constant issue for us and other adjoining residents for a number of years now, and is still not resolved. We have provided expert evidence at our own expense on a number of occasions, I think, to this panel and to the council, demonstrating the ongoing noise issues that we continue to endure today. I say that because the operators seem to think that some solution they put in 2020 has solved the problem for all time, regardless of the noise that we've demonstrated continues regardless of those measures. And we feel that installing a colour bond fence and some blueboard lining, given the nature of the site and the relevant elevations compared to the neighbouring residents and the site in which the car wash and the direction in which the car wash was ultimately installed, contrary to the approved plans, and our inability to take any effective noise measures ourselves on our site are all worth drawing specifically to the panel's attention here. That expert evidence hasn't been contradicted by the operators other than to attack the integrity of our expert, which is quite telling. Anyhow, we're pleased the council is now supporting our position on the noise and that more evidence needs to be provided about the current situation and the impact of the proposals. The proposals, in addition to the unauthorized works, include requests for some changes to the current conditions of consent that the operators continue breached in relation to the number of employees on site, operating hours, and they want to install some further machinery equipment without any indication of what that would do to the current position, let alone get us to a point where the offensive noise is being addressed properly. We feel a holistic and effective solution is required with appropriate stakeholder input and engagement to address this matter. All the consultations have been through council the solutions have been ineffective, and the evidence, as I say, remains unchallenged in any expert way. We're also conscious that this operator has taken, in multiple sites elsewhere in Sydney, has taken far more extensive noise mitigation measures in consultation with council, including on main roads. So we're still trying to figure out why it's acceptable not to do so in the middle of a heritage conservation area. The operator seems to have total disregard for the heritage. For a long time, they argued that the heritage considerations didn't apply to their development, although they're happy to advertise their location in that conservative area. Obviously,
excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
Can you wind up there, sir?
Yeah. The only point we want to make is that, I mean, obviously the rules apply to everyone, particularly in a sensitive area like this. Our situation is unacceptable. We don't feel that this behaviour should be rewarded at the expense of law-abiding, compliant residents and neighbours. It would be a far better use of everyone's time, including the panel's time, to actually have these issues addressed holistically. Well, I'm also aware of the other submissions in relation to car parking, signage and other heritage considerations, and I support those wholeheartedly as well. I'm happy to take any questions.
How far from the premises are you located, Mr. Lockery?
We adjoin it. We share a boundary here.
Questions?
Panel? No, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Questions, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, was that there is or isn't it? No question.
Thank you.
Lee?
No, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir, for your presentation. We'll consider your submission and the recommendation at the conclusion of this meeting. Thank you. Mr. Donnelly. Are you there, sir?
Hi, yes. It's Jessica Donnelly.
There's Alex I've got written down. Are you?
Yes, my husband has been held up.
Okay.
So he was the original. We had put him forward, but I'm going to speak in his place, if that's okay with the panel.
That's absolutely fine with the panel.
So I'll just, I guess some of it is to reiterate what Hugh has said. I'll try not to double up on the points. We are neighbours to the car wash. So I guess, firstly, we'd like to say that the application should be refused just because of all the previous reasons that have been given to the panel. The variation from the original development is so material that this application is not minor in terms of its modifications at all. We feel that we have been deceived with this development. They have carried out variations from the approved plans, and when developing the site, it was deliberately constructed in extensive unauthorized works at the time. They've failed to comply with the conditions of the consent regarding the hours of operation, number of employees, and the noise on site is a continued issue. There are many issues with the car wash, but the biggest one by far, obviously, for us as neighbours is the noise. The offensive noise, it really does need to be addressed at the source. We can't do anything ourselves because the car wash, in terms of where our property is, the car wash is on a higher ground to ours. The works that were carried out have not actually fixed the problem at all, and the operator would have been better off fixing it at the time than keeping on wasting the panel's time with applications that continues to be refused. As Hugh also mentioned, there's been extensive noise measures at other sites in Sydney, you know, Rose Bay, Rushcutters Bay, Coogee, just to name a few. So we fail to understand why that we can't seem to get some kind of practical solution for us here in Haberfield. The fact that they're trying to extend the hours, have more employees on site, this is obviously just going to impact the noise. Also, the request to add a dog wash is almost laughable if it wasn't so serious. As you can imagine, that would just create a far greater problem for us as neighbours. There's no room for car parking without creating risk in terms of injury or adding congestion to the overall site. And I just want to say that, you know, I obviously support the other submissions by the other objectors as well. So I'll try and keep that to my time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Nui. Any questions of the lady?
No, thanks.
No, thank
you. No, thanks, Chair.
Tell your husband you did a remarkable job, so well done.
Thank you.
We have three further speakers. One further objector, Mr. Vincent Crown. Are you there, sir? Yes, I can see you there. Would you like to present to the panel?
Yeah. Here I am. You're right.
I've got Crown. Is it Crown or Crow?
Crow.
I'm sorry, Mr. Crow.
That's okay. Well, I'm speaking on behalf of the Happy Foot Association. And we oppose approval of the current modification 202200.
I don't know if you can do anything at your end.
Oh, can you hear me?
Sorry, can the non-speakers please mute their microphones? That's Mr. Woodhouse. Thank you. Or Ms. Woodhouse. Thank you.
Right.
And, back to you, Mr. Crow.
The association supports the conclusion and recommendations stated on pages 739 and 740 of the Inner West Council's Development Assessment Report in regard to the current proposed modification. The association submits that the unauthorised works should be removed, the requirements of the original consent as amended should be met in full, and that was the consent given back in 2018. The current conditions of consent should be maintained and enforced. The car wash facility should be enclosed in a manner that is in keeping with the conservation area, and noise mitigation measures should be taken to address the impacts on neighbouring properties. The association supports the decision by the Inner West Local Planning Panel dated 23rd of February 2021 in regard to modification 2020-0401, that the provisions of DA 10-2017-170.1, which was approved on 21st of January 2018, should be enforced. In other words, the association believes that the original DA back that was approved back in 2018 should be enforced. And this was the decision made by the Inner West Local Planning Panel in 2021. The association regards subsequent applications, such as revision 2021-0006 and modification 2022-008, as attempts by the owner of the Crystal Car Wash to muddy the waters in order to circumvent the Planning Panel's decision dated 23rd of February 2021. The substance of this current application has been refused by the Council and Planning Panel on previous occasions. There's been two attempts to regularise the works on the site, that is to legalise the unauthorised works, and both of these attempts were refused by the Planning Panel on the 23rd of February 2021 and October 27, 2021. And so to be consistent, the Planning Panel should also refuse the current application. Similarly, previous applications have sought to approve the dog wash facility, and the current modification seeks to do the same thing.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Right. Well, all I'm making the point is that
if you can wind up, sir. Thank you.
Right. Is that there's been two previous attempts by the applicant to change the decision of the Planning Panel of February 2021, and all these applications have been refused by the Council and the Planning Panel. So to be consistent, I think the planning panel should refuse the current modification. That's what it really boils down to.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, good, thanks.
We've got two speakers for the applicant. The first one's Mr. Cooper. And Mr. Cooper, I'm wondering if in your address you can talk about the applicant, or at least the objector's observations in respect of noise and in response to your findings.
Thank you, Chair. But I think Mr. Cody was going first, the planner.
Right. I've got you first, but I'm happy to have Mr. Cody first.
Mr. Chair, it's John Cody speaking. I'm terribly sorry. I'm speaking under the name Sandra Woodhouse, because I'm in Port Douglas at the moment.
Right.
And my computer has chosen to stop working.
Okay.
And I'm speaking on another computer. I apologise for that.
But you're always colourful there, Mr. Cody, so please address the panel.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, just to clarify a couple of things about the previous considerations of applications. In the first place, there were two consents granted by council for the way that the service, for the way that the car wash was constructed and operates. That was 10.2017.170.2, which was approved on the 20th of November 2018, and 10.2017.170.3 was approved on the 1st of March 2019. I refer to them as the dot two and dot three consents. And the stamped approved plan for the dot three consent is reproduced on page 755 of the of Council's Development Assessment Report. Secondly, the there were two meetings held in respect of the modification 20200410. Now, that was the determination of the application that was held at a panel meeting on the 23rd of February 2021, and an application was made for an 8.2 review application, and that was held on the 14th of September 2021. Now, both of those, the Council's Development Assessment Report for both of those meetings recommended conditional consent. In both cases, the panel refused consent. I have some ideas why at least the first consent was refused, but it probably won't help to ventilate them here. I'd like to go first to...
Probably not.
Thank you. I'd like to go first to acoustic assessment, the way that that's addressed in the Council's report for this development application, which is to recommend refusal. First of all, there have been a total of 8 acoustic reports prepared for the Crystal Car Wash development on the site. 4 of them have been prepared by Mr. Cooper, and 4 of them have been prepared by Rodney Stevens Acoustics. There was some confusion or disagreement at the beginning of the process for the modification 0401, and the council made the decision to engage Rodney Stevens Associates to prepare the acoustic report.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
There was a bit of kerfuffle at the start, so Mr. Cody, can you bring your...
That acoustic report...
your conclusions.
As I say, there were four of each.
Yes.
The development assessment report prepared by the council justifies refusal on the grounds of acoustic impact by referring 6 or 7 matters and saying these aren't addressed. Well, frankly, they are. The development assessment report is quite incorrect. The first thing is identification of the most affected residential premises. They say that hasn't been identified. Well, it has. That's identified in two places, in two of the RSA, the Rodney Stevens Associates report. That's incorrect. Noise emissions from the use and operation of the proposed development are provided. That's incorrect. That's also addressed in two places in two of Rodney Stevens' reports, one dated 16th of the 3rd, 2020, and one dated 18th of the 8th, 2020. Noise emissions from proposed plant and equipment, it talks about the dog wash and it says there were no acoustic reports for that. Well, there were. There was an acoustic report.
So by there's a dog wash currently installed, is there?
No, there isn't. The report's wrong about that too.
Okay.
It's not installed. It says there was no acoustic report for that. Well, Stephen Cooper's report dated 13th of 10th, 2021, which is on page 834 of the development assessment report, assessed the acoustic implications of the dog wash facility and, in fact, recommended additional acoustic protection.
Are you going to leave something for Mr. Cooper to say?
Or? Well, I will leave it, and I'll leave also the second thing that this report says didn't have the acoustic assessment carried out was the extension of trading hours, and Mr. Cooper can tell you about that. He did. There is a report, so that's wrong. Okay. Then it says noise levels from any existing plant and equipment weren't undertaken. That's wrong, but that's all reported in the Rodney Stevens Associate acoustic report. Same thing, cumulative noise level. They said that wasn't done. It was. Okay. Whoever wrote this didn't read the acoustic reports.
Okay. All right. Did Mr. Stevens get anything right?
Well, not only didn't Mr. Stevens get it right, it seems that neither did the council officer who engaged Mr. Stevens and received his reports. Right. And the council authors of the development assessment report for the February 23rd meeting of the panel and recommended consent didn't get it right, nor the council officer who wrote the report for the September 14th of September 2021 panel meeting. They were simply ignored by the panel.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cody.
I have a whole lot more, and there is a whole lot more. I appreciate it can't get done in 3 minutes, and frankly, this is not a satisfactory way to deal with this. I don't know how else you can.
But I think you'd have to agree you had a lot more than 3 minutes, and hopefully you feel as though you've got your point across.
Well, I would like to make one comment about the...
if you promise me you'll keep it to one comment, you can make one comment.
About unauthorised work.
Thank you.
I have included in the Statement of Environmental Effects report something which I call the public interest test in respect of the work that was... the unauthorised work that was carried out. There are four things. The pergola shade structure and car wash wipe down area, that was installed for OH&S purposes to protect the staff. It is certainly not in the public interest to demolish that. Can it be demolished? I suppose if we demolished, another application be put in, but that doesn't seem to make much sense to me. There's a walkway at the rear of the site that the resident of number 1 Kingston Street requested the applicant to close in from the roof above it to the ground.
Mr. Cody, your 1 point's grown to 4. Can you wind up, sir?
I've nothing else to say.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mr. Cooper, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chair.
Is there anything left about acoustic that Mr. Cody hasn't addressed that you'd like to address?
I guess he's stolen my thunder in terms of it. But if I may, by explanation, there were some issues raised in terms of noise from the site. And I was present and assisted in testing from RSA Acoustics when they did their first assessment and identified for their benefit where the various noise sources were. And it was a council officer was present at the time in terms of it. They did the assessment, a number of reports, as Mr. Cody has said, is attached. And the important thing is that the RSA recommended some additional works. Those works were over-engineered and introduced, and they did a compliance test, which is attached into the document that you have before you, that identifies that the site fully complied with the intrusiveness noise target of 45 dBA. For some of the locations, as they had access to residential premises, which I did not, they said that the noise was sometimes audible, but did not give measurable increases. The criteria that's been tested by RSA and the design they did was for a lower noise limit, all satisfy the background plus 5 dBA criterion. The conditions for the site are not inaudible, Chair, and there appears to be some desire for there to be no noise from the subject site. It is a noisy area, and there are much higher noise levels associated with aircraft overflying the site. Has been reduced in COVID, but we certainly had information previously before. So the material, as Mr. Cody has identified, claimed by a council officer of the various matters not being addressed, I referred in the report that the council had an external consultant, and that external consultant had verified full acoustic compliance. It covered the cumulative noise of everything that was occurring on the site, and I referred to it in my application.
Can I just pause you there, Mr. Cooper? And I'm sorry to interrupt you in full flight. The date of that?
There are four reports, and they commence at page 804 in your documents.
And the council has that.
Yes, there are listed four reports from
saying, the acoustic group. Compliance.
Yeah. It's the last one of the RSA that identifies compliance. They say it fully complies. And so I identified in, I have prepared a number of documents, which was request for further particulars from the council and clarification.
Thank you.
And therefore, those matters have been addressed as to the matter of compliance. And Mr. Cody is correct that I did assess the dog wash, which is not on site, but on the data from the manufacturer, that I required an upgrading of the panel behind the dog watch and specified that in my report. So I don't need to repeat the list that Mr. Cody has gone through, but all the matters that identified under acoustics have been addressed, and they have been provided in terms of it. In terms of the first speaker, if I may, there was a claim about a number of expert reports. I've only seen one expert report from a company called Renzo Tonin & Associates, which had issues in terms of its measurements criteria, and
you'd know of that firm.
Yes, I certainly do. And there are issues of, Chair, you're well aware under EPA requirements that for the purpose of background level measurements, you do not take them during school holidays. And so some of the measurements that were taken were in school holidays, both by RSA in their assessment and required corrections. That's the information. If there's any questions, I'm happy to respond to those.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cooper. Are there any questions of Mr. Cooper or, for that matter, Mr. Cody?
No, thanks.
For me, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, Chair.
That concludes the speakers on item 9. We'll deliberate over that matter when the meeting closes. But before I close the meeting, or at least the public section of the meeting, can I ask whether our friend on item 8 has joined us yet, Marty?
There is a person in the meeting called Todd.
I can see it, Todd, there.
He's on mute at the moment.
Is that Todd Buncombe?
We believe so, yeah. We believe.
Is the panel happy to hear from Todd?
Yes, yes, Chair.
So can we, if you're there and you can hear me, could you address the panel on item 8? Thank you. We lost him again.
He's still there, Chair. He did have his
camera. Oh, he is. Yeah, he's just.
He might be unmuted now.
No, he's just turned the mute. Sir, could you please address the panel?
I just spoke to somebody saying I didn't know if there was much point in addressing the panel. I just had a phone call, but thanks for giving me the opportunity anyway. The
panel hasn't decided on it, sir.
With this application, and I'm just wondering why it isn't being assessed in a more holistic approach with the rest of the non-compliances and obvious demolition of heritage structure.
I'm happy to hear what you've got to say. The panel's not here to answer your questions, but if you want to address the panel, there's been no decision made on this matter, but if you'd like to put your case to the panel now for the panel to consider when the public meeting concludes, okay. We'd like to hear it.
So thank you for that. I was under the impression that it had already been assessed and there wasn't a great deal of point in addressing, but I'll take this opportunity. There have been multiple non-compliances across the site over the last year, and we as neighbours have been affected by multiple issues on the site, arranged from sidewalks being undermined, public walkways, having walls fall onto public walkways, seawalls being destructively pushed over, fig trees being chopped down and completely scarred, over excavation on the site, two stop work orders. So my concern is that there is a bigger issue at hand, and providing an approval for anything on this site at the moment, it shouldn't be done, because there's multiple infringements and stop work orders on the site. So that's my issue. I don't know where that stands with you guys, but that's my voice.
Thank you. We'll take into consideration your comments when we make our determination at the end of the meeting. Unless there's someone that I've missed, that concludes the public section of our meeting. Marty? Any?
I think you've had all the speakers that were registered there, Chair.
Thank you. Then can I bid farewell to our public audience and advise that we'll make the determination on all these matters now, and it'll be published on the Council's website. Thank you all for attending and presenting, and your views and comments will be considered. Thank you.